Sidra.
The art district had every bit as much noise and detail as the others, but it was less crowded, at least. In the other districts, everything was always being pushed and sought in an important rush, as if your credits might not be good enough if you didn't buy something now. But here, where the items for sale were anything but practical, both merchants and patrons seemed to have all the time in the world. Sidra could see little barrier between culture or medium. Everything was crammed in together. Wooden Laru sculptures, Hermagian rock carvings, fusion artists mixing traditions with abandon, body artists offering to alter flesh and scale and shell. The shops reflected the same mix. On one end of the spectrum, there were pristine galleries with clean walls and echoing ceilings. On the other, you had people selling prints and figures from behind portable tables, or sometimes straight off the ground. Blue's shop fell somewhere between the two extremes, though nearer the more humble end. His stall, Northwest Window, was in a larger communal building, one small cell in a busy hive. Sidra stood in the corridor for 3 minutes before walking through his door, painted appropriately in a thick coat of rich cyan. She'd behaved badly toward Pepper, she knew, and Blue was on Pepper's side, first and foremost. Maybe he already knew about the fight. Maybe Pepper had sent him a message, telling him she was out of patience for Sidra's nonsense. Maybe Blue felt the same way. When Sidra walked in, her worries vanished. Blue looked up from his easel, and he smiled at her as warmly as he always did. Sidra, what are you doing up in the sun?
I'm not at work today.
So I see. He wiped his brush off with a rag, set it down, and got to his feet. He wore an apron, but the clothes beneath it were still speckled with paint.
Taking a day off?
Yes. She looked around. She'd been to the shop before, but it was a little different every time. She noted the changes. The paintings of the mysterious forest and the bustling carnival were gone, sold, presumably, and a new canvas depicting a group of spacewalkers hung on the wall. There were 5 brushes and a scraper in the sink, fewer than the 12 brushes she'd seen the last time, and the dead glow bulb in the south corner of the room had been fixed. There was one thing that always remained the same, though, and it was the chief difference between this place and those he shared with Pepper. Blue kept his own environment immaculately tidy. Everything had a shelf, a drawer, an angle. Pepper had spots for things, too, in her way, but Blue always kept his shop looking like he was expecting company at any second. Even the dirty brushes in the sink were neatly set in their cup of water. Sidra was aware of Blue studying her as she examined the space.
Everything okay?
He asked.
You look upset.
No, Sidra said. I don't. The kit looks upset. Blue glanced over the kit's shoulder, making sure the door was closed.
That's an important distinction to you.
It is. I feel upset, yes, but I don't know what you see. Whatever the kit's doing, it's not me. Blue tapped a finger against his thigh.
You got somewhere to be? She shook the kit's head.
Good. He gestured toward a chair facing the back of the easel. Have a seat. Blue moved the in-progress canvas aside as she settled the kit down. He bustled around, gathering paints and clean brushes. He poured a cup of mech from a small brewer and fetched a fresh canvas.
What are you doing? Sidra asked.
Something that might help, Blue said. He held out his palm.
Give me your hand, please.
Sidra placed the kit's hand in his. He ran his thumb over the back of it and rummaged through a box of paint tubes with the other hand, pulling various colors out.
I think think you're somewhere between royal bronze and classic sepia. Are you going to paint me? Blue grinned. Maybe a dab of autumn sunrise, too. Sidra's pathways lit up with interest. The idea of someone studying her details for an extended period was a fascinating reversal. What do I do? Just sit there and relax. If you need to get up, or if you get bored, let me know. He squeezed paint onto palette, beginning to conjure the kit's skin tone. What should I do with the kit's face? Should it smile? Blue shook his head as he stirred. Don't change anything. Don't be anything but what you were when you walked through my door. Just be yourself. He nodded toward the canvas. I'm curious to know what you think of how you look. I've seen the kit in mirrors. Let me rephrase. I want to know how you feel when you see yourself the way somebody else sees you. Blue glanced from paint to the kit, then back again. With a satisfied nod, he picked up a brush and began to work. Taste anything fun today? No, I haven't eaten anything. That's not like you. I was distracted. If you want, we can go to lunch after this. There's a good noodle bar not far from here. He dragged brush down canvas in a long, smooth stroke. Sidra did her best to stay still, even though she badly wanted to watch. Come up with any new questions on the way here? Sidra gave a short chuckle. There were always new questions. She pulled up her list. Why don't the Laru overheat? Other species seem to find it warm here, and the Laru are covered with fur. I never thought about that. You'll need to look that one up. How dangerous is it if you swallow dent bots? I imagine they'd go after a lot of good symbiotic bacteria in your stomach. They do, but it's not overly dangerous. You just get a stomach ache. Happened to me a few times when I first started using them. His eyes flicked cautiously over to hers. So, why no work today? Sidra looked around the shop. I had a disagreement with Pepper. What about? Sidra sighed. She won't let me install a wireless linking receiver. Blue raised an eyebrow. You two have been on that merry-go-round before. I know, but she's not listening to me. I don't want to delete memory files. She is listening, Blue said with measured diplomacy. She just doesn't agree with you. The kit frowned. And you don't either. I didn't say that. I don't always take her side, you know. I'm listening, too. I'm listening to both of you. He reached for another tube of paint. Tell me something you're afraid of deleting. I've downloaded a lot of things. I know. Pick a favorite. I don't know if I have one. Something you find really interesting, then. Just something at random. Sidra worked her way down the length of her memory banks, not sure where to start. Well, there's this. The Neverborn Queen and Those Who Followed. What's that? A Quellan folktale. More like an epic, I suppose. It's a bit dark in places, but there's a wonderful poetry to it, too. The kit fidgeted as she remembered Pepper's words that morning. You're filing away half the fucking Reskit library. I have the three most popular translations on hand. Blue leaned back, never taking his eyes off the canvas. I don't think I've ever heard any Quellan stories. Feel like sharing? The kit blinked. Yes, but it's quite long. How long is it? She selected one of the three files, the Toshbaum translation, and ran a quick analysis. It'd take me approximately 2 hours to recite it aloud. Blue shrugged and smiled. Sounds like a great thing to do while painting. Sidra adjusted her processes and began to convert text to speech. Call out, brave warriors, and remember our song. Remember the heroes lost and the heroes born. Remember the shells shattered among sea and rock and cave. She was aware, as the saga of war and homeland poured forth from the kit's mouth, that Blue was distracting her. She'd seen him do the same sort of thing to Pepper in the moments they thought Sidra didn't notice, when Pepper became quietly, whisperingly afraid of nothing. In those moments, Blue would ask Pepper about her day. He'd ask her about what she was working on. He'd ask her about the latest sim she'd been playing. In a small way, Sidra felt a bit manipulated, like he was purposefully driving away the bad mood she'd felt justified in nursing. But having something else to focus on was better, and being painted was a surprisingly good feeling, too. It was nice to be watched, to have somebody pouring all his attention into her. Was that selfish? And if so, was that a bad thing? Blue hardly spoke at all when she told the story, other than a short laugh or, here and there. His eyes were intensely focused on his work, and by extension, on her. It was a look she'd never seen in him. At home, he was so mellow, so gentle. Here, there was a spark, a curious sort of strength. He reminded her a bit of Pepper, when she fell into a groove with a project. Sidra hadn't felt that way about anything before. She was focused now, yes, but she knew that was different. Was she capable of that kind of flow? If she could disable her ability to track time, could she lose herself the way they did? She continued to recite, and after 1 hour and 56 minutes, the tale of the never-born queen reached its final lines. To sleep, that our heroes may wake once more. Blue nodded thoughtfully. That, he said, was fascinating. Kinda grim, but I wouldn't expect much, much less from the Quellen. They have some sweet children's stories, too, Sidra said. Well, rather speciest, but sweet in the right cultural context. Blue laughed. Again, as expected. He put down his brush with conviction. It's been a long time since I did a portrait, and this is just a quick one, but, well, tell me what you think. He turned the canvas toward her. The paint still glistened. A human woman stared back, serious and quiet, with a face that would easily disappear in an Exodon crowd. Sidra studied the details. Copper skin that didn't see much sun. Slender cheeks fed on bugs and Stacy food. Eyes so brown the irises were nearly lost in them. A cap of black curls, cut short and hugging tight. She'd looked at that face many times in the mirror in her room, but this was something different. This was the kit as Blue saw it. It's beautiful, she said, and meant it. The painting or the face? The painting. You're very skilled. Blue gave a happy nod. What about the face? What do you see in it? She searched for an answer, but found nothing. I don't know. She paused for 2 seconds. Do you know who decided what the kit would look like? She asked at last. Did it come this way? Or did Jenks choose it? Or... Lovey chose it, Blue said. This was all her... or so... Pepper said. Sidra looked at the portrait, at the face someone else had chosen for her. Why? Why had her former installation wanted this face? Why this hair? Those colors? Those eyes? What about this form had made Lovey think, yes, this is me? Hey, Blue said, taking the kit's hand. What's up?
Sidra couldn't look at him.
I'm a mistake, she whispered. Whoa, hang on.
I am, she insisted.
This, she gestured between the kit and the portrait, is hers. It's all hers. I would have been her if I hadn't scrubbed those memory files when I woke up.
The kit closed its eyes tight.
Stars, I'm what killed her.
No, Blue said, not a hint of a question in his voice. No.
Oh, Sidra.
He took the other hand now, too, and held them both firmly. You had no idea.
No idea.
What happened to Lovey is not your fault.
That crew, they knew when they flipped the switch that Lovey might not come back.
But they wanted her too. They didn't want me. She thought again of the Harmagian she'd nearly tripped over, the argument that had preceded him, the guarded way Pepper watched her when she spoke to strangers.
I'm a mistake, she repeated.
Blue leaned back in his chair and folded his arms.
Well, if you are, I am too.
He touched the top of his head, tangling his fingers in his thick brown hair.
You know why I've got hair and Pepper doesn't?
She said you're not like her. You weren't made for the factories.
Yeah. Want to know what I was made for?
He raised his eyebrows, smirking.
Civil leadership. I was supposed to be a cunt.
He gave up on the word and laughed at himself.
A politician.
Blue grinned, but there was a sadness in his eyes. Something about this wasn't as easy as he was making it out to be.
The bastards that made us, they're not as good at gene tweaking as they think. They think they've got it down. They make dancers, they make mathematicians, they make athletes, they make factories full of slave kids with no hair. But evolution isn't a thing you can wrangle like that. It doesn't always go in predictable ways. Genes and chromosomes, they do their own thing sometimes. You think you're mixing together a politician, and instead, you get me.
He shrugged.
The enhanced call us misfits, people who don't suit their intended purpose. So maybe you're a misfit, too. Doesn't mean you're not deserving. Doesn't mean you shouldn't be here. Lovey's gone, and that's horribly sad. You're here, and that's wonderful. This isn't a zero-sum thing. Both can be true at the same time.
He looked at the painting.
And maybe this... maybe this isn't you right now. Maybe the face you're wearing just needs a little time before it fits you, or you fit it. Either way.
Sidra thought for 2 seconds. I don't know what to say right now.
That's okay.
Sidra watched the drying paint as she processed the events of the day over and over. Blue sat beside her, hand around the kits, clearly in no hurry. She cycled through the argument with Pepper that morning.
You need to try.
She'd been so angry to hear that, but remembering it now, the feeling was different. Maybe she needed to stop fighting the kit. Maybe she could be more like everyone else. She looked at the portrait's eyes and tried to imagine what it would be like to see herself looking back.
Do you know an Aeluan named Tak?
She asked. Blue blinked, surprised by the question.
I know a dozen Aeluans named Tak. That's the problem with them. With an invented language. Not a lot of names to go around. Do you know Xerf's full name?
No, just Tack. She's a tattoo artist. I met her at Shimmerquick.
Sidra pulled up the contact file.
Her shop's in the Western Art District. Steady Hand?
Oh, yeah. I don't know that particular Tack, but I've seen that shop.
He scratched his chin. I don't think it's too far from the noodle bar, if you wanted to go see her after lunch.
I hadn't thought of it before now, but I would like to, yes.
He looked at her curiously.
Why, you thinking of getting some ink?
The kit shrugged.
I don't know, maybe.
Blue laughed and ruffled the kit's hair.
I mean, hey, if you're going to have an existential crisis, go all out, yeah?